We are opening our Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 18, and what a study this has been. You know, I'm in the middle of writing a newsletter right now and planning to finish it tomorrow, the July issue, and I am seeing so many things happen so fast. I know I sound like a broken record, I keep saying that, but it's true every time. We are advancing so quickly through time, and the prophecies are being fulfilled so rapidly that it really just can't be much longer until our Lord appears. And I know the Lord has called me to preach the gospel, and I've been doing that for many years. And He's especially called me to preach the second coming of Jesus. And what a wonderful, grand, and glorious event that will be. Amen. And I believe that it's so close that perhaps we'll all be here yet when He comes again. You know, some have gone on ahead to be with the Lord, and that's okay too. That's all right. But we know there is a family in heaven and on earth, all named by the same name, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen. And so some are up there, some are here, but Jesus is here and there, and He's everywhere, and we're all together in spirit. Amen. And that's a wonderful thing. We're going to begin in Revelation 18. I'd like to pray one more time because we need to do that so we have understanding and discernment. I'm not here to entertain anybody, and I know that you're not here just to put your time in like the Jehovah's Witnesses do. Did you know they get credit for that? They literally have a sign-up sheet, like a time card, how much time they put in, and they're striving to be one of the 144,000 that gets to go to heaven because nobody else does. They're confined to the new earth, but the 144,000, they're in this advanced level, you know, and all that kind of nonsense. But you know, there's a lot of religion out there and a lot of religious spirits. But I know that the Word of God is true. We're here tonight to learn what we can, to be inspired. You know, there's only three reasons why the Word of God ever comes forth. Only three. Unto edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's what the Bible says of itself. If something is going on in a religion and it doesn't edify, exhort, or comfort, it's not of God. Isn't it great that you can just look at that and exclude a whole bunch of stuff? I made a statement, I think it was Sunday, it was recently anyway, that any church that has ever shed a drop of blood is disqualified from being the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in Babylon, in that religious system, no matter what denomination that person may be, or that whatever name you're naming, if any bloodshed had gone on, it's of Satan. Because all the blood of the martyrs is found in Babylon. And in the last days, where do you find all of the demon spirits? All of the devils, the unclean spirits? Babylon becomes a cage of every foul spirit and every unclean and hateful bird. It's all found in one place, Babylon. Now, we're studying about spiritual mystery Babylon. And we're going to continue on in chapter 18. And what I'd like to do is back up a verse or two so we can pick up on this properly. Now the Lord did say in the first few verses of chapter 18, Babylon is fallen. That's mentioned in verse 2. And that all the nations, every nation. Now aren't you glad you're not a part of that? You know, we are in this world, but we're not of it. Jesus told us that in this world we would have tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. When we call upon the Lord in prayer, He always hears us. He is always merciful. He is always gracious. He is our good shepherd. Amen. And there is nothing that you and I can do that will ever make Him love you more than He already does. See, we don't earn our salvation. Aren't you glad you don't have to get out a set of beads and light a candle and get in front of that candle and let your fingers do the walking around those beads, and kneel down there in front of some statue or idol and kiss some image of the Pope's ring if you can't do the real one and do all of this, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women, all that kind of... You know, isn't it refreshing to know that the Savior has come in, the Spirit of truth, and what He does is He takes religion away from people. And He gives you the truth. People are confined by religion. How many here have ever been stifled by religion? I mean, just oppressed by religion. Everything from the Catholic Church to the Dutch Reform to the, you name it, you know, absolutely stepped on and made, they make you feel like you're confined, oh, you're in, hell is hanging over you, and this sword of Damocles is right above your head hanging by a thread, and God's just out to get you. The Lord is not on your back, He's on your side. Amen. That while we were yet sinners, He went to the cross of Calvary and saved us. Now that's good news. And that's the meaning of the word gospel. Good news. I'm glad we're not confined to a religious system of bondage and oppression, because it's everywhere out there. And because churches have absolutely failed, they have literally filled up with evil spirits. They become entertainment centers. They become purveyors of yoga and transcendental meditation and all kinds of crazy stuff like that. And see, Satan knows what he's doing. He knows what he's attempting to do. But God still has a remnant people. Amen. He still has those that have not bowed the knee to Baal nor kissed his image. Thank God. And it's the hand of God that keeps us right and keeps us in His will. But the Lord did tell us that in the last days, this system of Babylon, this religious system, comprised of both a beast and a rider. Remember, the beast has what? 10 horns, right? These are the 10 divisions of the world. A while back, they took the, back in the 70s is when they finalized it, they took the whole big wide world and divided it up 10 ways. Now, isn't it something the Bible talks about 10 horns? Is that a coincidence? No, that's fulfillment. And there is a rider on this scarlet colored beast. The rider is a woman, a great whore, an unfaithful woman, a woman who is for sale. You see, that's one of the problems too with religion. It's a matter of buying and selling. It's hell's mercantilism, isn't it? See, in the kingdom of God, you don't have buying and selling. You have giving and receiving, but you never, but never have buying and selling. How many televangelists buy and sell? How many religions do that? See, you can't have that, or they're disqualified from being in the kingdom of God. Now, you might say, but that lets out just about everybody. Yeah, I guess so. But it's still true. We know that the rider on this beast... See, John saw in a vision, God showed him this mystery Babylon the Great. We read about that in chapter 17. The mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I'll tell you this much right now, very strange things are going on in high levels of government as they begin to intermix with this Roman system. It isn't just the Roman Catholic Church, but all of her offspring and all of her affiliates, including Islam. You might say, Islam, that's opposite of Catholicism, isn't it? No. You know, how many have ever heard of Fatima? That sacred spot over there in Spain, where supposedly the Virgin Mary, whoever that is. Now, there was a Virgin Mary. Jesus was born of a virgin, but she had other children. Matthew 13:55 would tell you that. Four brothers are named. And there's at least three girls. So after Jesus was born, Mary had at least seven other children. You can read it in Matthew 13:55 if you care to look it up sometime. But in Fatima, they said she appeared, and it was considered a sacred spot. I think that was like 1917, long ago. But on a lot of these little Catholic medallions, they'll have Fatima on there. Have you ever seen that? Anybody? All right. Now, Fatima happens to be the name of Mohammed's daughter in Islam. A little connection there, isn't there? And you'll find a lot of little plug-ins to these different religions, how they interconnect and they're interwoven. See, they don't really care. It doesn't bother them to merge. It's all the same God, as George Bush said. We all have the same God. Not me. They do, but not me. So what he was saying, in essence, is true of them, but not of us. Because we don't worship the one that they're worshiping. Satan appears in many guises, in many forms, many different ways. He'll give you any way to keep you off the one way. And he does that. That's why we need to stay in the book of God and be filled with the Spirit. Pray for discernment. Not all men have faith, and certainly not all men have discernment. But we see that in the last days, Babylon will fall. Is fallen. It's said twice there because the thing is established and will shortly come to pass. Just like when Joseph told Pharaoh, he dreamed the dream twice because the thing is established and it will shortly come to pass. When God says something twice, we better listen. Because that thing is established. When Jesus said, verily, verily, said it twice. No wasted words. Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must be born again. Right? The water and of the Spirit. Hey, that is established by God. Cannot be changed. All right? Now, Babylon is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now, you think about all the demonic activity in the world today, in the realm of education, politics, banking, religion. Satan has literally permeated every enterprise of man. You'll find Satan busy everywhere. And you know, all of that references back to and indexes back to Babylon. This is a massive, organized conspiracy, and yet God has the power to overrule it all. And it will not be long until He judges it all. Amen. They're talking today about fixing the oil problem by drilling offshore. And there's a lot of different views on that. I don't care where they drill. I know they're not going to fix it because they're crooked as a barrel of fish hooks. This whole thing is rigged to start with. Our entire nation is swimming on oil. Over there in North Dakota, for an example. The whole state is situated on top of massive amounts of oil. But they're forcing people to not extract it. They're controlling the supply to keep the price up. Because they have an agenda. There's a reason why they're doing this. Believe me, there is a... You can check it yourself. If you really look into it, there are people in high places who have an agenda. They have a plan. And they stand to gain by everybody else's loss. And that's why these things are going on. But we're reading tonight about a spiritual system that the Lord revealed to His people. After all, isn't this found in the book of Revelation? You know why it's called that? I've said this before, but I need to remind you again that you and I are not capable of discovering truth. It has to be shown to us. It has to be revealed from heaven. I cannot find absolute truth in any institution of man. I've got to get it from God. That's the only source. That's why the Bible tells us in the last days, the Antichrist will be revealed in his time. God will show you and I who it is. The rest of the world will see him as a great Savior. Right now they're looking to one Barack Hussein Obama. They call him Obi. So they call him Obi. And his wife just had a makeover, so she looks like some doll that stepped off the cover of Cosmopolitan. And this whole thing is just a big show. And of course, McCain, it keeps making ridiculous statements. You know, isn't it something when you got a situation where no matter who you would try to somehow reconcile the ability to vote for, that no matter who wins, you lose? That's what it's come down to in our country, in our world. And it's because there is this system, this strange mystery Babylon. It's a mystery because people don't understand it. We, to a great extent, do understand it because God has revealed it through His Word. Do you realize what an advantage you have tonight? That the Spirit of God would reveal to you what's going on. Look around you. People are wandering around with blank faces and they only understand a little, almost nothing, of what's happening. All they know is it takes a big bite out of their wallet every time they put gas in. And why should prices be that high? And to a certain extent, they've discovered, yeah, there's some crooks in there somewhere. You know what the Bible says? The whole world lieth in wickedness. Show me anything out there that isn't a scam. That's why I love the kingdom of God so much. There's peace in the kingdom of God. There's all the fruit of the Spirit. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and kindness and meekness and faith and temperance and all these wonderful things in the kingdom of our God. But notice something in verse 3. It says, here's what happened. For all nations, I wasn't going to back up to the beginning and I didn't quite, but we want to get into this as far as we can tonight. Verse 3 said, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Wine of wrath and fornication. In a spiritual sense, unfaithfulness. Do we have any world leaders involved with the Vatican? Remember the last pope when he died, the funeral? Oh, they all came rushing over there. And now what's interesting is, recently the pope was over here, and he was given the royal treatment by our president. Last December, Tony Blair, the former Prime Minister of England, converted to Roman Catholicism. Kind of shocked England, you know, because here he was. Of course, they have the Church of England, which had a very unusual start. Remember back there when Henry VIII wanted to divorce one of his wives? He kept marrying women, and they couldn't produce a male child, so he'd have them killed. It wasn't even their fault. That's determined by the man. Because Gregor Mendel discovered that. Remember the XY, XXXY chromosomes and so forth. But King Henry VIII would get married, and his wife couldn't produce a male child to take over the throne, so he always got rid of her, had her killed or whatever. Remember Anne Boleyn and so forth. And so finally he wanted to divorce a wife that he had, and the Pope said, no, you can't do that. They said, all right, forget you, I'll start my own church. So he started his own church called the Anglican Church, or the Episcopal Church, Church of England. He appointed the Archbishop of Canterbury to be the head of the church. The current Archbishop of Canterbury is Rowan Williams. Rowan Williams, a couple of years ago, was initiated into the Order of the Druids. I have a photograph of him taking his initiation as a Druid witch. He's the head of the Church of England. But of course, after the Church of England formed and they broke away from Rome, then the Pope, through the Jesuits, attacked England in a very unusual way. These Jesuit priests dressed up like pirates. Their flag, the Jesuit flag, was the Jolly Roger, the skull and crossbones. Of course, we've heard a little about skull and bones too, haven't we? But anyway, they sent these priests over, these vicious Jesuit priests, on pirate ships, and they attacked the British ships. You hear about all these pirate stories and so forth. The majority of them were Catholic priests. Jesuit-trained renegades that went out to attack England to punish them and their commerce for breaking away from the Church of Rome. History is all full of things like that. But anyway, Tony Blair converted to Catholicism. Now, our president has been gallivanting all over Europe to bring support for an attack on Iran. In fact, he notified the Israeli Knesset that before he left office, he intended to attack Iran with nuclear weapons if necessary. World War III. That's how close it is, if the Lord allows it. It's all in God's timing. Now, President Bush took time off from his gallivanting around Europe to garner support for his attack on Iran. And he went to Rome. And he went to the Vatican. And there, he went to see the Pope, of course. Now, when the Pope has a head of state come in, he takes them into, they are ushered into what is called the Apostolic Library. They all go into the Apostolic Library. That head of state then must bow the knee and kiss the ring of the Pope. But George Bush was not taken to the Apostolic Library. He was the only head of state ever to be taken to the Tower of St. John in medieval 12th century tower. I wonder if they put an elevator in there. It's been renovated. I don't think the Pope walks up all them steps. I'll bet you that medieval tower has an elevator in it. I'd like to know. But he took President Bush in there, and all the way to the top, nobody else has ever been up there other than the Pope, overlooking all of the Vatican. And of course, President Bush said, "How big is all of this?" And the Pope said, "Not as big as Texas." And Bush said, "Yeah, but a lot more important." And as he was ascending the tower, behind the Pope, he kept saying, "Such an honor, such an honor, such an honor." And he wouldn't shut up. He kept saying, "Such an honor, such an honor." He got all the way up there to the top with the Pope, and he overlooked all the Vatican and all that realm and the Villa de Malta and all the idols and all that. And he was so stricken by all this. And now, the British newspapers, primarily the London Daily Telegraph, said that George Bush is in the process of converting to Roman Catholicism. So his walk down the beach with Billy Graham didn't do much, did it? It's a political move. And it shouldn't surprise us too much. There are strange and mysterious things going on in these last of the last days. But we know that Babylon has become a cage, a hold of every unclean and hateful bird, every foul spirit. They're all there. For all nations. It's interesting, too, because who gets a special seat, unlike any other, at the United Nations? On the right hand of the speaker's, or the presiding council's podium, the Pope. All nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants, commerce, buying and selling. Of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Did you know that the Vatican has its own banker? And the majority of the money of the Vatican, and they own hundreds and hundreds of large corporations that you and I are buying from all the time, not even knowing who owns them. The majority of that money is in New York City. In the various holding companies, banks, investments, and so forth. I got news for you though, there's going to be a major crash. It's forthcoming. Today, the Royal Bank of Scotland announced an alert. They put out an alert that there is an impending crash in the global, meaning all nations, in the global markets. And their expert, their loan advisor, investment advisor, I should say, Royal Bank of Scotland, stated that it's going to get pretty ugly within the next couple of months, worldwide. All these things are coming to pass to fulfill Scripture. We have the advantage of knowing that our God is in control. I know that Ed Yardini, who is one of the greatest economic masterminds in the United States today, recently made some interesting statements too about our economy, saying that we have a government of last resort, and they are working with banks of last resort to try to avoid depression, Great Depression number two. But every indicator reveals that we are in a free fall to the extent that there is no way you can pull out of it. The banks are having to write off $1.3 trillion, with a T, dollars in bad, uncollectible debt, mostly for mortgages. And now, housing, I just got my tax thing today where they revalued my house and it's gone down $5,000. That's fine, my taxes are less then. But it's been stated that within a year, the value of housing will be one half of what it is right now. That's how bad it is. And mortgages that are out there, and the house is there for collateral, the banks are concerned because the value of the property is only half of what it was. It doesn't nearly cover their debt. Of course, they've been loaning, did you ever hear those ads? Borrow up to 125% of your value. Well, that's asking for trouble already. So you can see this coming. These are very, very strange times. I can only imagine what would happen if we would attack Iran. You see where we are? I'm just trying to show you. And it's hard to get this message across because we're so used to having the sun come up in the morning and try to have a normal day and we go about our business. But one day will arrive that is not normal. And everything is going to be different. I remember when 9/11 came along and those towers came down and our country changed forever. And it wasn't long until we had an American Geheimestaatspolizei, Gestapo. Homeland Security. Strange events. Recently, an airplane took off from George H.W. Bush Intercontinental Airport in Houston. They got 11 miles east of Houston, flying at 5,000 feet, and a rocket came up and went right past the cockpit of the plane, missed the plane. It was a Boeing 737 with 148 passengers on board. And the rocket narrowly missed the plane. It must have been the hand of God. The FBI told the people on board, they rounded them all up, asking them if they saw anything, and some of them did, and the FBI said, keep your mouth shut. They said it was nothing more than a model rocket. At 5,000 feet with a massive contrail? I don't think so. But see, they assume that you have stupid written on your forehead. They're presumptuous. Meanwhile, while all of this is going on, and see, who are the terrorists? I believe it's an inside job. But you know, it's been admitted that China has hacked their way into our computers. In fact, we conveniently leave laptops with critical information out in the open for them to come and they plug in their little zip drives or whatever and take it all off of there. And China is building nuclear submarines and on a continual program of placing different bases here and there. We had a red Chinese nuclear submarine in Puget Sound near Seattle underwater a number of years ago. That's getting pretty close. And they weren't there to protect their Chinese laundries either. They're there on a mission. I'm just trying to show you where we are in time and how sensitive things are. Makes me rejoice to know that the Lord is coming. It just says we're that far along in this. And I don't know about you, but I'm kind of sick of the world, aren't you? You know, if the Lord would come back tonight, wouldn't that be a great thing? I just pray that there would be a quick repentance by a whole lot of people that I know need it, including some of my own family. You know, that God would mercifully, quickly call them and the Bible says He would do a quick work. Do you ever wonder about your loved ones and so forth? And Lord, help them to be ready. Doesn't the Bible tell us clearly that the Lord will do a quick work in the last days? That He will cut it short in righteousness? That's salvation. At the very end, those that you've been praying for, listen, you've got to believe and never quit believing. God can save them in a moment of time. And He said He would make a quick work and cut it short in righteousness. For a quick work will the Lord make upon the earth. Now, in verse 4, a voice comes from heaven. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people." Here's the great call to the people of God to get out of Babylon. Now, you don't do that geographically because Babylon is everywhere. But you come out in spirit. You cut off all of the ties, the affiliation of heart, of soul, of mind, with Babylon and the works of Babylon. See, some people have the mistaken impression that they should find some country to go to where Babylon isn't. But Babylon is everywhere. It's spiritual. And so what we do is we realize that the Lord is calling us to come out in our hearts, to get our hearts and minds out of Babylon. Not be taken in by the devices of it, the allurements of it, the lies, deceits, and temptations of it. "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." Here the Lord's calling us out of Babylon, and George Bush is going into it. Not that he wasn't already in it, but boy, he nosedived right into the center of it now. The Tower of St. John. Verse 5 says, "For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." The Lord never forgets other than... You know the one thing the Lord does forget because He wants to, because He's able to, because He's God? He forgets the sins that He has forgiven. When the Lord forgives you of all of your sins, He forgets your sins. Don't you wish you could a little easier? The Lord does forget on purpose. See, when we forget, it's usually by accident. Do you ever try to remember somebody's name? Or some event or this or that, and what was that? Oh, yeah. We forget. But God chooses to forget all of those things that He's forgiven you of. They're cast into a sea of forgetfulness, it tells us in the Psalms. And I'll tell you that they sink like lead to the bottom. Thank God for that. But with Babylon, it says, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. So all of the sins of the world go into Babylon in the last days as a confinement there. Initially, God scattered the people of the world because of the Tower of Babel. He confounded the languages. In the last days, there's a gathering into Babylon. Just as there is a call out of Babylon for His people, the rest of the world floods into this vortex of sin and evil. And the Lord then says, and the reason there is this harvest of weeds, of tares, is because God is saying in verse 6, reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. So when God pays Babylon back, it's twice over. That's how severe the judgment of God against Babylon is. You see, for the Christian, there remains no condemnation. We're not under condemnation. You know, wouldn't it be great if people would repent and come in and find that glorious truth? But if not, if you persist in interacting, in cooperating, I should say, with Babylon, with commitment of the heart, then there's going to be trouble. Double trouble. You know, we hear about this Cedar Rapids, Iowa situation. You know, with all the flooding. Two things here. For one thing, of course, Iowa is one of the breadbaskets of our country. It's the corn there is amazing. I've driven through Iowa, and it's cornfield after cornfield after cornfield, hundreds of miles of cornfields. You know what? It's just about all destroyed now. Corn that's already been sold before it was grown. Sold to distilleries to make it into ethanol. Sold overseas, and now we can't deliver. And how about the food problem? They said the prices were already escalating because of world demand, and so much of other parts of the world have our money now, they can bid high against us, driving the prices up. Hey, somebody's played some games with us. And now, it's a reverse drought. It's too much water. It's destroyed the crops of the field. Now we're in real trouble, and they said the prices are already doubling from where they have been doubled. Isn't that interesting? Double under her double. And they use those very words in the news. Well, the other thing is, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, which is basically the city that was, the whole thing is underwater, was the largest center for the production of components of microchips in the United States. And so the Lord said, have a little water here. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. Has our country lived deliciously? Well, they have. You know, as long as the plastic keeps working. Oh, by the way, that $4 a gallon going up to $5 a gallon, going to go up to $7 a gallon. How do I know? The $4 a gallon price is based on when the crude was $90 a barrel. Now it's approximately $140. There's about a two-month delay in that. Okay? So when you base it on that, and the $4 is based on the 90, what's it going to be at 140? It's inevitable. There's no way around it. Can a nation sustain that kind of spending? Can our transportation system bear up to that? Not for very long. And once the plastic stops working because you can't even make the minimum payment and they're putting late charges on you, isn't that sad how they do that? You know, the people that are hurt the most by a late charge get the late charge. They penalize you. They kick you when you are down. If anything, they should give you a break. They entice you into debt and entice you into debt, and then they get you into debt, and then you can't pay. And then they come out and throw more debt on you. That's the devil's way. It's easy to see who's running the show, you know, in this world. But how much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. Interesting word, it means luxuriously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she hath said, saith rather in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Don't people say it could never happen here? Could never happen here. Oh, other countries, they can get it, but never here. That is the big misconception. Therefore, shall her plagues come, watch this now, in one day. Something is going to happen that in one day there will be death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. He's talking about Babylon. You know, the first time, 1995, I was on a Staten Island ferry sailing past the Statue of Liberty, and I looked at that big city, and I realized, and I thought about all this. I thought, here's that city of New York. There's Manhattan. Straight ahead is Whitehall Ferry Terminal. Here is, you had the big twin towers up there. You had all these big glass buildings, skyscrapers. The Chrysler Building, the Empire State Building, the Flatiron Building, General Motors Building, the Woolworth Building, all massive skyscrapers. You had to almost break your neck to look at the top of it. And all of the 400 skyscrapers in Manhattan. And I looked, and there was the Statue of Liberty holding that torch as if it were a flaming sword keeping the way of the Big Apple, you know? No matter which way you went, you could see it. And I looked at that and I thought, this is all going to come down, all of it, it's going to fall. Of course, some of it already has. But it falls in different ways. Now, one of the Saudi Arabian, or one of the Arabian countries, the Muslim countries, pardon me, I'm not sure which one it is, but they're buying the Chrysler Building. Another country, Italian firm, is buying the Flatiron Building. The General Motors Building is being sold, all these skyscrapers. What we have in our country is this, they're being sold at rummage sale prices too. See, the dollar is so weak right now that foreigners are coming in against the dollar with their euros and so forth and buying massive amounts of our property. Our highways, our tollways are being sold. Many of the old landmarks of our country are being sold. The United Nations has come in and designated a United Nations safe zone for various properties and so forth. They'll come into your land if you own land and say, now you can't do this with it, you can't do that, you can't do that. This is under UN protection. So really, everything is being seized upon. It's all snowballing into effect as I speak. And I really don't think Barack Hussein Obama is going to help the American people. Neither do I think the son of Cain is going to do it. McCain in Gaelic means son of Cain. Remember Cain in the Bible? That wicked one who slew his brother, who was marked. Well, well, we got some amazing possibilities there, don't we? So, my time flies. Well, we got some left yet. But anyway, the Word of God tells us that in one day, death and mourning and famine, she shall utterly be burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Notice, it's the hand of God who's going to make this right. See, Satan has built up an evil enterprise, and it's going to take God to tear it down. And he will, because he's coming to bring forth a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. God is a good God. We'll know him either in salvation or in judgment. Thank God we can know him in salvation. And the kings of the earth, who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, notice, her, meaning the rider of the beast. There's an interaction between rider and beast, isn't there? One is a religious system, the other is a political system. In the end, the political system overpowers the religious one and destroys the woman. Catholicism, the beast, overcomes the rider. Okay? And it says that they that live deliciously with her, it says, shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. But you know, when I started to say, when I looked into Manhattan and I got thinking, I thought, just think what's in that city. At 58 East 68th Street, there is the Council on Foreign Relations, the Illuminati itself in the United States, near the East River, with its gilded ceilings and crystal chandeliers. I walked in there 3 times and got booted out 3 times. Didn't even make it past the receptionist. They watched that place pretty closely. The Trilateral Commission over by the UN, the Anti-Defamation League of the B'nai B'rith, you've got all the banks and all the banking system, Wall Street. On one end of Wall Street, there's a cemetery. The other end, there's a river. Trinity Church sits there on one end, the East River on the other end. And there was Federal Hall. You know, back in 1929, when the market fell, the big crash, I've got a picture of this. I was just looking at it today. People were stunned. They were dazed. They were amazed as they stood on the steps of Federal Hall with a big statue of George Washington in the front on Wall Street. They all walked out of the money pit. They were all broke. Suddenly, they that had all kinds of money had none. And people, some did jump out of the skyscrapers and commit suicide, quite a number of them. But a lot of them stood there on the steps of Federal Hall. And you look at their faces and they are washed out. Suddenly, they're impoverished. They have nothing. Now our economists are telling us that we are headed for, this is what they're saying, we're headed for a depression that will last 10 years and it will be followed by World War III. And if you look at the pattern, in 1929 the market crashed. 10 years later, World War II broke out. Everything runs in cycles, doesn't it? When I studied economics in technical college, they taught us the cyclical function. Everything goes around in a circle. And we are right now on the brink of worldwide depression, food rationing. England is going to give up what they call carbon cards. You're given a ration of carbon in the form of a debit card. When you go and buy gas, you don't just pay for it. You've got to swipe your carbon card. That goes against you. You use a certain amount of energy. When you pay your light bill, that goes against your carbon card. Anytime you use any kind of energy, they dock you for it. And when you're out, you're out. You don't get any more electricity and you don't get any more gas. Don't I paint a beautiful picture? No, I'm just trying to level with you. This really is where we're at. Even the CNN, even the CNN Clinton News Network admits it, right? He still has a big part in that thing. Oh, by the way, Barack Obama is going to make an appearance in public, and with him will be his close associate, Hillary Clinton. That's been announced already. All I can tell you is if he picks her for vice president, he's a dead man. She'll off him in a New York minute because she wants to be the president. He then would be a martyr. And all kinds of possibilities rise up there. Who knows? We're living in a time when all kinds of options are open. Anything can happen. But notice what the Bible says. Really, I'm so glad I've got this book. It's the book of God. So it says that there is a class of people that are going to bewail the destruction of Babylon. It says in verse 10, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas." I know that New York City is over half Jewish. So some will probably be saying, "Oy vey, oy vey." "Alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come." All the markets, all the mercantilism, all of the forms of governance in every endeavor of man, it's all headquartered in New York. The Vatican's money is in New York. Remember years ago they used to say, so many X number of millions of dollars of gold left the country? It didn't really leave the country. They took it under the street through tunnels to the Bank of Spain or the Bank of Portugal or the Bank of France. All these banks were close to each other because they were connected with tunnels under the street. And they would put this gold on these carts and they'd go down, they'd wheel it under the street and it left the country because it went to the other country's bank. But they didn't literally load it on a ship and haul it off. It all stayed in New York. It just was transferred to another country in New York. That's why it's called the International City and the capital of the world. The head of all mercantilism, all trading. But I'll tell you, it's going to burn. According to the Word of God. In 1 hour is thy judgment come, and the merchants of the earth shall weep. Now why would the merchants weep? They can't sell anymore. What does it take to make a merchant weep? But he can't sell. That's right. And mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. Now notice, I kind of baited you a little bit by saying they can't sell anymore. The fact is, they could, but nobody can buy. No man buyeth their merchandise anymore. You know what that is economically? That's called a depression. My dad used to tell me, he lived through the Great Depression of 29. He was born in 1911. He was a very, very young man, married relatively young, and lived during the Depression. My oldest brother and sister used to go out and try to sell things that my mother made, handmade things, you know, and tried just to get a few pennies, buy a little bit of something. Soup kitchens were everywhere. Now I want to ask you something. Back then, a lot of people read their Bibles yet. Religion was different. You didn't have all those drums and banging away and nonsense. People went to church, and even though they may not have been doctrinally right, they had a certain amount of character about them. And they did pray, and they did read their Bibles. Can you imagine what would happen, even just in Beaver Dam, just in Wisconsin, but nationwide, if all of a sudden there isn't money to buy things with, and people had to stand in line at a soup kitchen. Now you look at the young people today, how long would they put up with that? We don't have that integrity now, do we? Where are all the Bible readers now? Where are the people who know how to pray? We have a society that would go absolutely berserk. There will be blood in the streets. There will be insurrection. There would be martial law. You try to tell them they have to be rationed. They can only have so much. Oh, they want it all. You know what? One of the biggest things right now, the hottest things to steal right now is used French fry grease. They're stealing it by the tank load because then they're converting it into diesel fuel. It's a hot commodity. People are being arrested all the time for stealing used grease. What's going on? You know, what would it take for all of us to really see this? I realize there's a certain amount of disbelief. This just can't be happening. The fact is, it is happening. That's why we need the Savior. That's why we need the Lord. He can make a way where there's no way. He always takes care of His people. David said in the Psalms, "Once I was young, now I'm old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread." And you know, people have been brought up in the cities, lived in cities so long, they wouldn't know how to plant one seed in the ground. Back during World War II, they had what they call victory gardens. The cities had certain plots of land. You could go and stake out a little segment of that land and plant things in there to eat. Victory garden. Anybody ever hear of a victory garden? Yeah. And you know what? Nobody ever bothered the next guy's victory garden. Nobody stole from one another. Back in those days, most people didn't lock their doors. They left their keys in their car. Could you do it now? Back in 1966, 67, 68, I was at Clintonville Senior High School. The farm kids would come. Their dads would let them use the truck. They'd come driving into school with a truck, big old shotgun hanging in the back window. They'd leave the side windows open, leave the keys in the truck, go on into school. Nobody bothered anything. Do you know what they would do to you now if you drove a truck into the school parking lot with a shotgun hanging in the window? They would have the National Guard, the SWAT teams, Delta Force, everything, you know. They go berserk over that. If they would arrest a little girl, 12 years old, for having a steak knife, she brought a piece of steak, leftover steak, for lunch. And she had to cut it, so she brought a steak knife, and she wasn't waving it around. She was sitting at the table and cutting her steak, and then somebody came by, "Hey, you got a weapon here." And they grabbed her by the neck, and they pulled her off to the office, and two big police officers came and hauled her off to jail and called her parents and booked her for bringing a weapon to school. That's how weird it's gotten. And the police using tasers on 80-year-old women. You know what? This is not the country I was born in. I remember how it used to be. It's nothing like that now. Whew. I try so hard to get this across. I hope I am to just a certain extent. But anyway, and not just, I know I'm speaking to people who have discernment. I know you understand this, and I'm thank God I've got people like you to speak to. But all those out there that are going to hear this all over the world by tape recording and disc and so forth, I hope I'm getting this across. We need to seek God now. Now, while we have time. So they're going to see the smoke of her burning. And they're going to say in verse 10, "Standing afar off for the fear of her torment." Remember, they can't buy. No money. What a time. My dad had 40 acres of lakefront property with pine trees, blueberry patches up near the Cloverleaf Lakes up there near Shawano, between Clintonville and Shawano. He sold all 40 acres for $100 and was glad to get it. Now you couldn't buy a square inch of that for $100. And it's all built up, and I don't even know what that land would be worth today. He had a 12-cylinder Duesenberg that he sold for $50. I wish I had it. I would have liked to have inherited that Duesenberg. I wouldn't sell it for $50. I got news for you. I heard one went for $1 million one time. You know, things are cheap in a depression. Everything's cheap, but there's no money. Why do they weep? Why do they mourn? Why do they sorrow? No man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The merchandise is there. Nobody's buying it. Nobody can buy it. We're not even going to be able to afford Chinese junk. See, if you've got money, you've got a big advantage in a depression. It's just that most people don't have any. And you might say, I got $100,000 in the bank and I've got FDIC insured up to $100,000. Guess what? They have 1% reserves. You get a dollar on $100. That's the nature of a depression. How quickly people forget. And so, the judgment comes in an hour. Verse 12 says, the merchandise of gold and silver. You know, as I think of New York City, I think of all the things that the things that are regulated, buying and selling, that's regulated there. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones. Do you realize how many tons of gold were in the vaults under the World Trade Center? Tons of gold and silver. And the first thing they did was head for that when they were going into the ruins and so forth. Merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thyan wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble. You know, the busiest seaport or waterway and seaport in the world is the Kilvan Cull in New York between Staten Island and Manhattan. Narrow strip of water. Of course, people get confused. Kilvan Cull is actually Dutch. Kil is a waterway. All right? Because it used to be called New Amsterdam. It was all Dutch. Can you imagine that? All Dutch in New York. And some, you know, Staten Island too, there's some parts of it that are clean and nice. That's where the Dutch are. And then it's dirty and filthy and rotten and all messed up, and that's where the other people are that never clean anything. One thing I got to say about the Dutch, they're very clean people, and they like to plant tulips. Anyway, so it's listing all of these things that were for sale. You know, I remember when I wanted to get Shirley, that was way back yonder when... I was 21 at the time. I was going to technical college. I took my scholarship money that I had. I won a bunch of scholarships, and I took the money and I went down and bought an engagement ring for her. Then I had to eat popcorn for about 2 weeks because I spent all my money on that, and I didn't have anything else to eat. So I went to the store, and they had one of these big, gigantic, size of a gunny sack, you know, popcorn. That's what I had to live on for a week while I was going to school until I got some more money. But anyway, I bought her the ring with that. But I went into this little jeweler down in Appleton there, and he said, oh, he says, he's a little Jewish man, I just got back from New York. Oh, I have a deal for you. Huh? They always got a deal for you. It's a steal, you know. And it gives you the whole pitch, you know. And I bought it all right. But, you know, they all go to New York, don't they? Perfume buyers and jewel buyers, and they always go to New York. cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat. That's called a commodities market. And beasts, livestock, sheep, all right? And horses and chariots, meaning automobiles. And slaves and souls of men. Do we ever hear of an illegal slave trafficking? Do you know that Chinese children are being sold like cabbages? And we know about that, and every so often somebody makes a little noise, but they don't do anything about it. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. Can I do this in 7 minutes? Let's try. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. So all of these commodities and goods disappear. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. So the whole mercantile system is going to crash. The buying and selling. And that's judgment on the beast empire, because by then, buying and selling is regulated by a mark. Okay? And saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company of ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. You know, in 1929, everything was going along all right. In the money pit, people were investing. And you know what? A lot of people invested money. The average people in America had little investments. It was like magic. You put money down, 10% margin. All of a sudden you get your money is increasing and making all this wealth. But all of a sudden, all the banks at the same time called in their call money. They had to, because the super rich, the Rockefellers, the Carnegies, Bernard Baruch, Warburg, all these rich, super rich people pulled all their money out, stuck it in Canadian banks. The banks in our country had to call in the call money, which was loaned out so people could play the market, and all the money was called in out of the market, and the market crashed, and all of a sudden everybody was broke in an hour. Just that fast. This didn't come on slowly. They went that day, they were trading, all of a sudden, bang, the bottom fell out. Except this time it falls out for good. And the Bible says, rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel, thank God for those mighty angels, took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. You know what's real interesting about Manhattan? Well, a lot of things, but it's an island. All five boroughs of New York are islands. Manhattan is 13 miles long. And at mile 6 1/2 from the tip, halfway, there's a fissure that goes through there. They said that any earthquake of any significance would tear that island in half. And underneath it, it's supported not by rock, solid rock, but by a honeycomb effect, a lot of hollow rock all through underneath that island. No wonder the Indians sold it for, what was it, close to $20, something like that. Wampum. Boy, did they wampum. But if there was a significant earthquake, that island would literally break in half and sink into the harbor and the Hudson River. The geologists know that. Interesting, here what happens. And so this great millstone is cast into the sea, saying, "Thus with violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all." It'll be gone. "And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters," the New York Philharmonic, Broadway, "shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman, of whatsoever craft he be, shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride, which is a joyful voice." See that the meaning there in Scripture is a voice of joy. Bride and a bridegroom. It's a joyous occasion. But we know it also has a great spiritual meaning as well as allegoric. "Shall be heard no more at all in thee, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived." By what? By sorceries. What does the word sorcery mean? It comes from the Greek word pharmakia, which means the dispensing of drugs for occult purposes. And I'm going to tell you that prescription drugs, for the most part today, are dispensed for occult purposes. People are drugged up like you wouldn't believe in our nation. "And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth." You know, we're about to close, but I've got 2 minutes and I'm known to use them all. I just wanted to show you something from the Old Testament that I think you can use. God said in Hosea 9, verse 17, the last verse, it says, "My God will cast them away," meaning those people of Israel that rejected Him, "because they did not hearken unto Him, and they shall be wanderers among the nations." In other words, they have no nation of their own. They are globalists. They wander among all the nations. Did you know that David Rockefeller can travel to any country in the world without a passport? You try it once. And nobody better dare ask him who he is. See? Wanderers among the nations. In Hosea 11:7, it says, "He is a merchant. The balances of deceit are in his hand. He loveth to oppress." Now, I don't mean this to be a racial slur. I don't have anything against any race. But isn't it true that there are so many Jewish merchants that fix prices, that love to oppress, that wander among the nations? That's their judgment for rejecting the Lord. Now, they could become Christians. Now, somebody I know is going to turn this against me, but I'm not afraid to say it because the Bible says it. There's just a large percentage of these people that have found their way into controlled mercantilism, and they have oppressed with their money and their money lending and their high interest and their ability to buy and sell. Alan Greenspan, okay, Ben Bernanke, all of these are part of that international sect of the Pharisees. So it's about time to close here. I will tell you this in closing, that, and you may want to read this on your own in Nahum chapter 3, "But the Lord said, because of the multitude of the whoredoms, of the well-favored harlot," well-favored harlot, "the mistress of witchcrafts that selleth nations." How do you sell a whole nation? Oh, they do it through their financial activity, through her whoredoms and families, through her witchcrafts. They control families, they sell nations. And we are in the hour, in the time, when God is going to correct all things. You know, they said there are long, long lines of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of couples, homosexuals, lesbians, in California getting married. 2 84-year-old women just got hitched. They lived together for 50 years first. Sodom and Gomorrah? God said, "Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness, and the kingdoms thy shame. And I will cast abominable filth upon thee, and make thee vile, and will set thee as a gazing stock." Folks, he's done it. Sin is a reproach to any nation, to any people. But I know all of this is hard to bear. I understand that. And yet, there's an element of joy in it, because Jesus is coming. Of necessity, he's coming soon. If you take a careful look at the current society, especially at the young people, are there enough of them that have the training, the intelligence, the fortitude, the ambition to run this world for another generation? That and those qualities are in short supply. He's coming. And that's good news. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." Amen. Amen. That's our prayer. That's our blessed hope. And so with that thought, we'll close with a prayer. Father in heaven, oh, how we thank thee tonight that even though all of these things are coming upon the earth, because thy word declares it to be so, yet, Lord, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, because thou hast promised to save thy people, to draw them all unto thyself. For, Lord Jesus, thou didst say, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Lord, we rejoice in the belief and promise, the belief in the promise that thou didst give, that thou wilt surely return to this earth. And so we look with great expectation. Keep us ready, O Lord. Let thy people be blessed, even all thy congregation. And now lead us by thy Spirit. And we ask it in Jesus' name, through the power of the blood, that Satan have no ability to hinder us. In Jesus' name, amen.